The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is presented by Geico. Whether you rent or own, Geico makes it easy to bundle home and auto insurance. Go to geico.com today.
The Fantasy Focus Football Podcast is brought to you by ZipRecruiter. Most job boards overwhelm you with tons of the wrong resumes. Not smart, but ZipRecruiter finds the right people for you and actively invites them to apply, so you get qualified candidates fast. Now that's smart. Try it for free at ZipRecruiter.com/06010. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Fantasy, you're in the 06010. Fantasy Focus.
We are on to week three. Welcome into the Fantasy Focus Football Podcast. Field Yates, Matthew Berry, and our usual third wheel on Tuesday. Sorry, Mike. I didn't mean to call you third wheel.
It's okay.
It has a negative connotation to it.
No, it's all right. It's true. So
I'm usually the third wheel.
That's a good point. Very good point, Matthew. Though you're a decent third wheel, I got to admit. Because
I appreciate that. Hey, heads up, Kyle. I'm already working on the tweet, so the fact that you send it now to me after we're already on the air isn't helpful.
By the way, just to go back to the third wheel thing, like, it's possible to be a really bad third wheel. Like, there are times where you dread you've got a date with your girlfriend or your fiance or your wife, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it's like, hey, your friend is in town who came in town for like the one night of the year, and they're like, do you mind if we hang out? Like that, there's bad third wheel. So the fact that you're a good third wheel, Matthew, is something you should be proud of. Probably update your resume, your Twitter bio at the very least.
I'm going to do that right now. I'm on the Twitter. I'm actually trying to let everyone else know that we're on the Twitter here. You're engaged and married. Mike's married. I'm married. But did you ever find when you were single that you were often in the third wheel position?
I found
that a decent amount.
It happened on occasion, but like when the third wheel opportunity presents itself, I just pass. Like, hey, you guys go to dinner. I'll meet you up for beers later.
Right. That's fair.
I just passed.
There's a couple of couples that I really, really like. And so I would. So I've been, you know, where you like both the man and the woman in the couple. And there was one couple of two gay guys that I absolutely loved. So like, you know, I didn't mind being the third wheel. I don't know. It's okay, actually. Yeah. But the important part of the third wheel is that you can't just be, it's all right, Mike. You'll get used to being
Stefania's
on television.
Stefania's ghost made an appearance.
You have to like both of them.
Right.
You can't like one of them and sort of, suck it up for the other one. You gotta be both, all in on both of them. Right? Secret Squirrel, you've been a third wheel a lot.
To be honest, I was just saying this. Like, the times where I was a third wheel usually just led to some really exciting and real fun evenings. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do indeed.
Daniel just
rewind. Fantasy news from the National Football League.
This is the instant replay.
Great producing by Daniel right there to take us off that topic on his own. We got a lot to get to today because you may have heard just a tiny little inconsequential, nobody was talking about it, trade took place on Monday. But let's begin with Monday Night Football recap right here on ESPN. The Bears, maybe not the Monsters of the Midway, but it looked like it last night. They take care of business against the Seahawks. It was 24-17, but it didn't feel that close. Let's begin with some of the recaps here, some of the bigger picture notes. The Bears' defense was ferocious last night. They lead the NFL with 10 sacks in 2 weeks. At some point during the season, you have to start to drop players because you need that quarterback to fill in, you need to replace your kicker for a week. Has the Bears defense entered the territory that you would not drop them and instead roster a second defense in order to keep the Bears on your roster?
They have for me. Look, they've beaten up on two, you know, not particularly great offenses so far, and they were at home against Seattle. And we'll get to the troubles of Seattle in a minute here. But I think they're a top five defense, especially in ESPN scoring where you can get negative points for scoring and it's so tough to find consistent defenses. Like, I can't imagine dropping the Bears and leaving it to the waiver wire. I'd much rather in a 10 team league where you can always find another wide receiver, you can find another quarterback or even a running back in some cases. Yeah, I'm not dropping the Chicago Bears defense.
Yeah, I'm with you. And they play Arizona this week.
Yes.
So you'll like that a lot.
You love it.
So you're not dropping them this week. You're going to ride them one of the top defense. I mean, Minnesota's the top defense this week, obviously,
right,
at home against Buffalo, but they're right up there. So, on paper, I had them number six in terms of talent coming into the season after the Mac trade. So they're just loaded with talent on that side of the ball. This should sustain itself most of the year.
And Fangio's a good defensive coordinator, Field. And we expect their offense has to get better at some point, right? Probably, maybe.
We think it'll get better. The good news is Allen Robinson is already on track. Yeah. Allen Robinson had 10 catches, I guess, just for 83 yards. Were you more encouraged by the volume of Allen Robinson last night, or perhaps discouraged by the fact that the vertical passing game for the Bears, for right now, is largely non-existent?
I was mostly encouraged. I mean, a 42%, 41% target share led all wide receivers in week two. And so Mitch Trubisky's not a bad quarterback. Now, has he taken the leap like fellow draftmate Patrick Mahomes has? No, he has not. So it's still going to be a learning process for him. But I don't think he's a bad quarterback. Like, I think the Bears have a quarterback of their future. I remember talking to Eagles fans in Carson Wentz rookie year, and I was talking to our friend George, who works here and who's a, you know, a sad sack Eagles fan. He's just like, and I'm like, dude, whatever happens this season, you got a quarterback. You got a quarterback. And that's what I feel like to Bears fans. And I think they're obviously very excited. Big win last night, but they got a quarterback field.
Sure.
That would be my take.
I'm a little bit less convinced on Mr. Trubisky, to be honest with you. He feels more like an athlete playing quarterback right now. And what scares me about Mitch Trubisky is this. When things are scripted, and you would know that the Bears have scored on each of their first two opening drives so far this season, when an offensive play caller, Matt Nagy, has the play scripted, you can do basically what you would like to do. It's when you have to react as a quarterback or a play caller that I get a little bit more concerned. I think we've seen that through 2 weeks with Mitch Trubisky.
During the offseason, after the Mac trade was, you know, just not even fantasy, just looking at it from an NFL standpoint, for the Mac trade to work out, Trubisky has to be like average, right?
Right.
For that to really move the needle for that team, he can't be bad. I think so far he's been roughly average, but still a lot to prove.
I guess maybe you guys have a higher bar for quarterback. When I say they've got a quarterback, I mean they've got somebody like that. Like, I'm not saying they've got Ben Roethlisberger, or Aaron Rodgers, but do I think they have Andy Dalton? Yeah. I mean, like, he's going to get better. He's a young player, obviously. He's now, you know, he didn't have a lot of experience coming out of North Carolina in college. He'll get better, but I think he's going to be a league average quarterback. I think you have somebody that you're not going to be sitting here in 2 years going like, oh, we got to find a guy.
Not too many people are worrying about starting or sitting Mitch Trubisky in fantasy right now, but they might be feeling that way about Tariq Cohen, who came into the season with a decent amount of buzz, but he had just 5 total touches last night. Now, 4 of those were rushes, which almost mitigates the value even more. You could probably live with 4 catches from Tariq Cohen. Do we think that the value of Tariq Cohen is tapped? Like, is there a ceiling that just is far more modest as compared to most other running backs that have such electric speed and pass catching ability?
I mean, I'm a little concerned here because Jordan Howard's doing so much as a receiver, right? That's really going to crush Cohen. I thought he could push for 60 catches this season. That may not be the case now. That said, you know, game script hasn't really gone his way either, right? You know, they were up a bit big on Green Bay. They were up throughout most of the game last night. Obviously, you're going to run Jordan Howard into the ground in that scenario. Against Arizona, again, probably going to be a Jordan Howard game.
I'm like, how many games do you expect them with this defense to be playing from 14 to 21 points behind?
It is a tough conference. So,
sure,
I mean,
it's a very
I think
tough
as we get
in division specifically.
You're right. Yeah, another game against Green Bay. You got 2 against Minnesota. Could be a shootout with Detroit, you know, when they play twice. You have all, you know, you go on and on, look at the schedule. There will be opportunities for him when they're behind, and maybe he's just a guy you attack when the game script is right.
One thing that I said during our pre-show meeting that bears repeating, no pun intended, about Tariq Cohen is
this. I see what he did there.
Tariq Cohen's
talking about the Bears.
I get it.
And he said Bears repeating, which is a common phrase, but because we're talking about the Bears, it's sort of funny.
Double entendre? Is that right or no?
He's the only guy in this room that isn't a dad, and yet he's the one with the most dad jokes.
Tariq Cohen's like 150 pounds. Seriously. Uh-huh. And there was a play last night where the Bears ran, it was like a power play to Tariq Cohen. And like someone breathed on him and he fell down. Right? Like, and he is unbelievable. He might be one of the most sensational players when the football is in his hands in the open field. But he's going, like, there are going to be plays where other running backs might run through an arm tackle and Tariq Cohen's going to get bottled up. That, to me, is the most concerning factor for the volume of Tariq Cohen. You just have to manage him, also factoring in that he is going to be your primary punt return man and perhaps your kickoff return man too.
Plus the struggles of Mitch Trubisky. I think to Mike's point here is that they probably feel better about Jordan Howard. I think we coming into the season, we didn't expect the Bears defense to be as good as it was, obviously no Khalil Mack. And we also thought that, you know, Trubisky would probably take more of a step than he has so far. And that we thought this would be a little bit more of a wide open offense and would be a little similar to Kansas City. and that they would, you know, use a lot of motion and try to get Tariq Cohen. They have, but they haven't been successful with it. It's been
other players they've been successful with. They have, I mean, it is super creative offensively. Like,
sure.
Taylor Gabriel got a handoff last night. Not like a jet sweep, like a handoff last night. Trey Burton's doing all kinds of cool stuff.
And Trey Burton scores on a 2-yard shovel pass, which was a creative play. 100%. But I think what we expected was that he would be the centerpiece. He would be the Tyreek Hill of that creative offense, and it hasn't been that way so far. It's been more of a timeshare, and and Jordan Howard, to Mike's point, has been more involved than I think we thought initially.
It is getting late early for Seattle, who has dug itself into an 0-2 hole and does not look like itself at all. Last night, seriously, first of all, great job by the Monday Night Football production team with the Avengers themed graphic.
Yeah, I caught that. Yeah.
Showing basically all the players that were formerly part of the Legion of Boom and more on the Seattle defense that are no longer there, but they have no defensive playmakers that you really know well other than Earl Thomas, last night at least. You know, Bobby Wagner did not play because of that injury. Clark's still an ascending player.
The Legion of Whom.
Legion of Whom, if you will.
That is somebody on Twitter tweeted that at me, and I apologize. I can't remember who it was, but it's not mine, but sure. I enjoyed it. So thank you to one Twitter follower.
Thank you to anonymous Twitter follower for that. But the offense is a major concern as well. Are we now at the point where we can start to panic on Russell Wilson, who, by the way, good job, Matthew Barry. You finally got yourself a board bet win, huh?
You know what? I have to be honest with you. That is a very condescending congratulations because I had him as a hate. You were all in on him. You dug in on him as your number 7 quarterback. I had him at 15. I never wavered from that. We made a board bet top 11. You had him as a top 7 quarterback, but I gave you to top 11 and he finishes. I don't know what he finishes.
That's how they work, right? Like, yeah. I think he was like 15th or something like that. I'll get the exact number for you. Don't you worry. I'll get the quarterback number. You keep
15 points, 14.7.
So, Russell Wilson.
He was not good.
Yeah, he was not good. Like 20th amongst quarterbacks. It wasn't pretty for Russell Wilson. He was, you know what though? You're better than Sam Bradford. Better than Andrew Luck and Blaine Gabbert. And Alex Smith and Sam Darnold and Eli Manning and Mitch Trubisky and Tyrod Taylor and Case Keenum. So how about them apples, huh? What are you looking for right now?
I'm looking for a note that I have.
About what?
About Russell Wilson.
Right here.
So is that my fault? There? Thanks. There you go. There's my Russell
Wilson. Where would you be without me?
Honestly,
I don't answer that.
There's a lot of things that I would do without you. I'll tell you that there'd be more dating advice on this show. I'll tell you that right now.
Well, sorry.
Here's what I would do without you. My Instagram pictures would be worse. My wardrobe would be worse. And I would know less about craft beer.
All those things are true. And if I could take a moment, I'd like all of you that have not yet done this to go to my Instagram page at Field Yates and comment on my beignet photo. Revenge.
Oh, the beignets
went down.
How's your beignet photo doing, by the way? I'm going to go to your Instagram right now.
It's performing well. At Field Yates, comment on it if you'd like. Like it if you'd like. Just make fun of Matthew Barry's photo if you'd like to do that as well. All of those matter.
Yeah.
So let's get back.
I just want my beignet photo, which is by all accounts awful. You're at 2,000 and 2,300 likes on your beignet photo, by the way.
Okay.
I'll go to mine real quickly, which is by all accounts the worst beignet photo ever taken.
Ever.
26-19. I'm still
We're
ahead of you.
We're coming for you. We are coming for you. You can do this.
Come on, at Matthew Barry TMR, please like my bad beignet photo. And while you're there, you can see a picture of Secret Squirrel dressed up as Ryan Fitzpatrick.
All right, let's get back on track here. Yep. So, Mike, if you had Russell Wilson as your starting quarterback going into this season, are you nervous about him for the rest of the way?
Well, I'm going to one-up you now because he was on my hate list going into the season. Not
right.
My hate list.
Yes.
He was my bust at the quarterback position.
Yes,
obviously had major concerns about them going back to the run. As well as his just awful supporting cast, and that is added up. That said, I still ranked him as a QB1. Yep. I still think he's in that conversation. Remember, they played at Denver and at Chicago. It's really tough to start much worse than that. I mean, good luck finding a team that went on the road twice against two good defenses. So I still think he's in that top 10. I think he'll be okay because he is one of the most talented players in the league. And we talked about the defensive problems. They're going to have to throw the football in the second half. That should bail him out a little bit. He adds value with his legs. I think he added it all up. I think he'll be okay. I wouldn't over panic it just yet, if that's a word.
I would agree with that, Mike. A couple other things to note here. He's still going to know his wide receivers. I mean, Brandon Marshall and Jerron Brown, they're new to the team here. Will Dissly, fairly new into the offense as well. No Doug Baldwin as well. Remember, the first two games were on the road. Russell Wilson traditionally plays better at home than he does on the road. And get this, he's been a slow starter throughout his career. 2017, he was QB8 through the first five games. through the first five games. Last year, he was QB 8. 2016, he was QB 21. 2015, he was QB 14. Then you think about the rest of the season. Last year, the number one quarterback in fantasy from 8 to 1. In 2016, QB 10 from 21 to 10. And in 2015, he was QB 2 from week 6 on. So again, from 14 to 2. He has always improved after the first five games. Again, there'll be his first two games were on the road. It didn't look pretty, but Russell Wilson will ultimately be there. Probably a lower end QB 1 than the top three guy you drafted, but I'm not panicking just yet on Russell Wilson. In fact, if there's an if there's somebody in your league that's willing to deal him, think about that.
The last night was also the first night that we saw no Doug Baldwin for a full game. He left week one with an injury against the Broncos, but the first time we've seen a full game without Doug Baldwin. Did any Seahawks receiver differentiate himself from the rest of the group and to the point that you could actually trust utilizing him as a top 35 or 40 wide receiver play?
I wouldn't go that far.
Yeah, I wouldn't go that far. I was going to say, if you'd said top 40, I'd have put Lockett in there. I did like Lockett coming into this game. You know, he ends up bailing me out with a touchdown there, just an unbelievable throw and catch towards the end of the game. Lockett would be the only guy, but I don't know that there's anyone that you really trust. I guess if I had to pick a pass catcher to trust in a 10-team league, I guess Will Dissly, just because the tight end position is so ugly field, and he's got two touchdowns in two games.
Yeah, he was a late waiver wire ad. I do an addendum to the column on Tuesday mornings, and Dissly is certainly on that list now. He's got two touchdowns, as you said, on six total catches. The running backs, I want to ask you about...
He's the only tight end so far in the NFL with 40 receiving yards and a receiving touchdown in each of the first 2 weeks.
Just as we all expected, right?
Yeah. He ran 45 routes he ran against just five pass-blocking assignments. So Dissly, who came into the season, is everyone expecting him to be sort of a blocking tight end?
Yep.
They've been sending him out there. He's running routes. He's part of their passing offense.
Mike, this running back group is also a little bit discouraging. I mean, I don't want to say cut bait because it's too soon to cut bait on really any starting running back, but week three, is there any Seahawks back that will come you anywhere close to your top 30?
No, you can't start them right now. I think Carson and Penny both belong on benches in case one does emerge as the clear feature back. I don't think Carson has done terribly so far. I mean, he averaged 4 yards per carry last night. He got six carries. You know, it's not really his fault. He's not getting the volume right now. They said he was winded. He didn't play much in the second half.
Yeah, there was a tweet from Greg Bell at G Bell Seattle. He covers the Seahawks for the News Tribune, I believe. Yeah, he's the Seattle's Seahawks beat writer for the News Tribune. He said, quote, in a tweet, Pete Carroll says Chris Carson got gassed, also playing special teams tonight. Coach wanted to see what Rashad Penny could do. Your boy, Rashad Penny.
Yeah, and we'll see. I mean, still, the jury's still out. He's not off to a good start. Obviously, a bad O-line. There's a lot of excuses you could throw up. He missed a lot of preseason, on and on and on. I do still think he has a ton of upside, a ton of talent, and maybe at some point he turns the corner. We've seen some flashes, but we haven't seen the breakout game, but they have to get volume. There's nothing more important in fantasy football. Neither of them is getting enough volume right now. It's really that simple.
At home against Dallas next week, I don't know if you can trust either. I'll have Chris Carson ranked higher than Rashad Penny when I do my ranks. They'll come out tomorrow morning, but I can't imagine trusting either of these guys, especially in week three when we're not even into the bye weeks yet field.
Bragging rights and huge cash prizes are up for grabs this weekend. And all season long at DraftKings, the leader in one-week fantasy sports. How huge? Over $2 million in total prizes with one-week fantasy at DraftKings. You choose when to play. Draft a new team every week with no season-long commitment. At DraftKings, you are the GM. Just choose your players, stay under the salary cap, and see how your team stacks up against the competition. And you can play free with your first deposit to compete for your share of over $2 million in total prizes. Go to DraftKings.com or download the app today. Use code FOCUS to enter a contest for free this weekend with your first deposit and compete for your share of over $2 million in total prizes. That's code FOCUS only at DraftKings, the game inside the game. Minimum $5 deposit required. Eligibility restrictions apply. See DraftKings.com for details. Now, we get to the news of the day. On Monday, we knew there was a chance that Josh Gordon was going to be traded. We knew it was expected he would be traded by 4 p.m. on Monday. And Josh Gordon has a new home. Josh Gordon has landed in New England with the Patriots, who exchanged a fifth-round pick in 2019 for Josh Gordon. If Gordon is not active for 10 games this season, the Patriots also get a seventh-round pick from the Browns. Very modest price to pay. Let's begin right here, Matthew, and talk about the range of outcomes with Josh Gordon now that he is a Patriot.
It's massive. It's as wide a range of outcomes as there is in fantasy football. And honestly, this is sort of what we said about Josh Gordon coming into the season with Cleveland. Playing with Tom Brady, he could be Randy Moss 2007. Like, that is within the range of outcomes, given that offense, his talent, that quarterback. He could also be looking for a job in a month.
Yep.
I mean, it is, there is as massive a wide range of outcomes for Josh Gordon as there is. And so my feeling is, and Mike, I'd love for you to weigh in on this as well, but my feeling is that if you have Josh Gordon on your team, his value may never be higher than it is right now, as everyone's sort of going gaga about the idea that, ooh, Josh Gordon with Tom Brady and Bill Belichick and Josh McDaniels and Randy Moss in 2007 and, you know, with Gronk there and Edelman in the underneath, you'd be able to go deep with Josh Gordon. Wowie wow.
Yeah, no, I'm totally
with
you.
That's what they'll say. Wowie wow.
Wowie wow.
Indeed. Wowie wow.
Yeah, in the trade offers, you'll see wowie yes. wow right there. That's all you got to say. I'm with you. I would be fielding offers for sure. It's easy, and you see this often with kind of fans looking at their teams or looking at your own fantasy roster. It's easy to see the ceiling, right? You look at all your players, and you see massive output. If everything goes right, it's hard to look at the floor and see what could go wrong. So I'm with you. You consider both sides. You field offers. I'm not going to jump ahead of us. I know we're going to get into a name game here and talk yep. about some players that make sense. So, but we'll get into that. But I definitely think I would be fielding offers at the very
okay,
least.
Okay. So you're leaning more towards fielding offers for Josh Gordon. What about those that maybe like me would be saying, no, I am not unleashing Josh, or I'm not letting go of Josh Gordon when I have the most tantalizing upside available in his career. Matthew, who is the best quarterback Josh Gordon's ever played with?
I don't. You can't count Tyrod Taylor. Maybe Jason Campbell.
Or Brian Hoyer.
Right.
Now he's playing with Tom Brady.
I've heard of him.
What is the upside here? Like, I mean,
the upside is Randy Moss 2007. That's literally the upside. He could, if he's on the straight and narrow and he fits into that system well, he has that kind of potential. Because again, like, at least in Cleveland, like, you could somewhat focus and you could try to bracket him and double team him and that kind of stuff. You've got to deal with Gronk and Edelman and the running backs and Hogan. And like, if you're a defensive coordinator playing the Patriots, like, what are you doing? You got to take away one of them, but you can't take away all of them. And there'll be enough times Josh McDaniels is creative enough that they will figure out different ways to get Josh Gordon, move him around and get him the ball and figure out ways to take advantage of his very special talents. That's at least the plan, is my guess in New England.
Sure.
Now, whether they accomplish that, whether Josh Gordon goes along with that, there's a lot that needs to happen for that to manifest itself, but that's the upside.
So that's the upside.
Within the realm of possibilities.
Yeah, I know Mike wrote a long piece on ESPN.com about the upside for Josh Gordon, who...
Check that out, Fields of Company Man.
Well, let's get back to the idea that... So we're going to talk about trades in a second for Josh Gordon, about the potential value you could recoup towards him, but... We all agree the upside is legitimately wide receiver one for Josh Gordon, as in like a top 10 wide receiver for the rest of the season. There is a fallout for the rest of the offense though, Mike. Understanding that Julian Edelman is not back for two more weeks, and for now, we don't know that Josh Gordon will play on Sunday. It's possible. Adam Schefter has reported he could be healthy enough to play on Sunday night, but still, 5 days after you arrive, nothing is a sure thing. What does it mean for the other pass catchers? Who might benefit the most or the least based on this acquisition?
I think the guy that's going, if you look at draft capital spent, I mean, yeah. I think the guy that's going to lose the most is Chris Hogan, right? A lot of people loved him as a breakout player, next step this season. A lot of early round investment in him.
Yep.
I don't see how he gets consistent volume now. I mean, once Julian Edelman's back, you put Edelman and Gordon out there with Gronk. You have James White and the running backs involved as well. You know, you'll have a few targets here or there for Cordarrelle Patterson and maybe Philip Dorsett, and obviously Dorsett's gonna lose here too, but you don't have as much invested in him. Hogan, I just don't see a path to more than a handful of targets. And yes, he might be Kenny Stills-like in that he may occasionally catches a long touchdown, but when do you start him? I just don't see it. How does he get on the field with all these other bodies out there? And by the way, they like Jacob Hollister too. He's gonna be mixed in two tight end sets. So I think it's a big problem for Hogan. I think he takes the biggest shot here.
Phil, is that your analysis as well, that you think Hogan takes the biggest hit there as you think about how the Patriots might line up?
I think Hogan has the chance to take the biggest hit. If Josh Gordon becomes within some level, one deviation, if you will, of his potential apex, then yes, I think Chris Hogan's the one that suffers the most, because I think that Julian Edelman is sort of fixated into that role where once he plays, he's good for somewhere between, you know, 9 to 12 targets per game as a security blanket for Tom Brady. Now, I'm not dropping Chris Hogan now. I'm not trying to cut bait or anything.
Because remember,
we
last
see
year,
it first.
Yeah, and remember last year, Hogan had more red zone targets than Gronk. Like when they were getting in close, that's who Tom, until he got hurt through the first 8 weeks of the season. So they were looking, Tom Brady was looking for Hogan. And don't underestimate the importance of trust with Tom Brady in terms of getting on the field and having production in the Patriots offense. I mean, we talk about Belichick, we talk about Josh McDaniels, but make no mistake, Tom Brady's not some robot that just goes out there. Tom Brady has significant sway and influence on what the offense looks like and who's out there with him in a given situation. So that's going to be important as well, chemistry and trust with Tom.
Daniel or Kyle put a tweet out at Fantasy Focus that said, basically, I'm offering blank for Josh Gordon in an effort to get him before he plays a game for the Patriots. Time now for a little name game. Does that work? Can I be the one that calls for a name game or no?
You could do that.
Verse name game.
I'll make Fields into a cranky old man before the end of the year.
People view me as like an exciting young outfield prospect.
You're like a homeless person.
He can get off my lawn.
You use insane ice cream for breakfast logic.
Shout out to Kelly Clarkson, my favorite American Idol of all time.
Stop it.
Yeah, I went there.
Fields insane. It's not just me, right, Daniel Dopp?
Really?
You are drinking the Kool-Aid. You are buying the hype.
Thanks, Dad.
That's half full, Nate. I called you Nate. I'm punch drunk.
This feels like a no-fly zone to me.
You guys are all... That'll make its way into a name game drop. That was a good one.
That's an oldie.
We need more of these, by the way. How can they get, if someone wants to create a name game drop, how can they do it?
That's a great question, Matthew. They could send it to at fantasyfocuspodcast@gmail.com. fantasyfocuspodcast@gmail.com. You could send it there.
There you go. fantasyfocuspodcast@gmail.com. All right, Field Yates, what do you got here? For now, are we taking the position that we have Josh Gordon or whether we would offer this for Josh Gordon?
You are offering this for Josh Gordon.
Yeah, this is what I'm, so I'm going to read you a couple of names from our Twitter users. You guys tell me if you would take this trade or if it's too much value to give up for Josh Gordon.
So these are, this assumes that we're trying to acquire Josh Gordon.
Yes.
Got it. Okay.
All right. From JR.
I understand the premise now.
Amari Cooper or Will Fuller for Josh Gordon?
I would keep Amari Cooper. I would trade Will Fuller.
I agree with Field.
I'm a no on both. I'm going to be kind of boring on this one. I'm going to keep Fuller too.
I like that you think you're going to be kind of boring just on this one, but okay, we'll move on.
Whoa.
Yeah.
All right. I like it. Shots fired. All right. Second
absolutely.
One.
Absolutely.
This one comes from Hall. Doug Baldwin for Josh Gordon.
I would trade Doug Baldwin for Josh Gordon.
I would too. I think again, cause we just don't know what's going on with the knees.
Yep.
Yeah. The injury is the key. If Baldwin was healthy, it would be a no for me, but
I would agree with that.
Moves the needle.
Yeah. All right. From Lucas Acosta, Michael Crabtree or Josh Gordon?
I would trade Michael Crabtree for Josh Gordon.
Yes, I would
this
too.
Is the definitive yes for me. I would go Crabtree.
Yeah. You'd go Crabtree.
You would trade Crabtree for Gordon. John Brown's who I want in that Ravens, pass catching court.
All right. From James Shaw, LeSean McCoy.
I would trade LeSean McCoy for Josh Gordon. I am super nervous about LeSean McCoy right now.
I would
now.
Trade LeSean McCoy for those beignets in your Instagram photo.
Those look really good.
They're
really tasty too.
Man, yeah. I'm a no here. You know what? Against the Chargers, they ended up starting to pile up some yards. I mean, they were moving the ball. I know. They were getting
he's hurt now. Play the Vikings.
I know that.
Like, play the Bears.
I know
still.
He might miss this week, but I still see him getting once he's healthy back on the field, getting 15+.
I'm an upside guy. You know, I'm an upside guy.
There is upside there. There's a high floor for McCoy if he's getting the touches.
Okay, from Justin Phillips, Kenny Galladay or Josh Gordon?
Oh God, I love Kenny Galladay, my little baby Tron, JJ's baby Tron that I've stolen that nickname. I think I'm still. That's a tough one.
Here's why I'm keeping Kenny Galladay.
I
think that the upside of Kenny Galladay is like a top 15 wide receiver.
Yeah,
that's what it is.
He's been there. Really, their number one. You can make the case he's been their number
so
one receiver.
So both players, if you're banking on the upside, keeping Kenny Galladay. Yep.
Yeah. Okay. This one from Jeff Pitt, Mark Ingram, or Josh Gordon.
Josh Gordon. I hate Mark Ingram. Josh Gordon.
Oof. I want Ingram.
Not close. Ugh. Ugh. Ugh.
You don't like
I'm keeping Mark Ingram.
I don't like good players.
Keeping Mark Ingram.
I don't like bench players. I don't like backup running backs.
Okay, well, speaking of backup running backs, Mr. Eddie wants to know Austin Eckler or Josh Gordon.
Wow. Gordon, easy.
Josh Gordon, come on now.
But, I mean, just the fact that some would just show you, like, the stock of Austin Eckler, that's even getting brought up. That somebody out there thought that was a rat.
But listen,
Austin Eckler is more real than he's not. Austin Eckler is more real than he's not. Josh Gordon could be out of football in a month.
Right. Come on. We're still, but he could also win you your league. Austin Eckler.
That is correct.
100%.
is a
so
fill-in.
Of these people that we have, you know, who's which one of these is the closest? Do you think?
What about
to, like, what fair trade?
Real quickly, Cooper Kupp, my little Cooper Kupp. I think I'd rather my little Cooper Kupp.
I'd rather Josh Gordon here, really? Upside, third wide receiver.
I'm going to lean Kupp. I'm going to go Kupp here.
What about Robert Woods?
What Woods do? I like. They're all three of those guys are full time players in that Rams offense. It's going to score a ton of points. They've all gotten there so far. There's ton. They're all in my stat OFP. They're all top 25 at receiver. There's plenty to go around in that offense.
Here's two quick good ones that I thought was good too. Brett Howell suggests Larry Fitzgerald. I'm so nervous about Fitzgerald.
Me too.
And that Cardinals offense.
Yeah.
I love Fitz, but
yeah,
I'd lean Fitz. I think he'll be okay.
I'd lean Fitz as well.
I think they're going to change quarterbacks.
Too, but that was a good one. And last one, Brent Tysinger, Alshon Jeffrey.
So same idea, right? Like hurt player ball. Versus player that's being traded. I'd lean toward Alshon. It's a really good one though.
Alshon makes me nervous. I think I'd go Josh.
You just don't know when he's going to come back, right? That's my concern here. I think I would go a tiny bit toward Gordon, but that's close.
All right. That was as close as we got right there.
Yeah.
You know what? Brent Tysinger.
Let's have Mike's our guest. Let him pick?
Pick.
Or you want to do it?
Who's your closest caller?
I know where you're
going
now. I think the hardest decision I had was Jeffrey. I'm with you there.
Okay.
That was the hardest one.
So Brent Tysinger
is probably the most on point with what to offer for Josh Gordon and Alshon Jeffrey. So Brent, follow and send a direct message to @FantasyFocus on Twitter. And you know what we're going to do to you? We're going to send you a pair of free Stance socks.
There you go.
Matthew still owes me a pair. I'll take that anytime you'd like to send it.
I do. Secret Squirrel's in charge of getting you socks. He's my sock procurer.
Right? I got a full year to make sure that gets paid off.
Yeah, full year.
Good point.
Full year. Have you and Chapin registered for socks yet? Maybe we should do that.
Registered for socks. I'll let you know when our registry is live if you'd like to order us the most expensive thing off of it.
I cannot wait to do that.
All right. What's the Twitter question we got here, Keith? And who's it from?
This is from the Outsiders 251. Wants to know, for this week, are you playing Josh Gordon?
I have Josh Gordon ranked, and the rankings will be out soon on ESPN.com. I think 44th amongst wide receivers. That's just couching the idea that, like, even if he does play, it might be like 10 snaps.
I was just going to say.
You know, like, I think last year when
the team signed
Kenny Britt, he played like 10, and again, Kenny Britt, not the player that Josh Gordon is, but the idea of like an explosive big play threat who could play down the field. Like, he got 10 snaps. And Michael Floyd, the same thing a year before that.
I have not looked at either one of your rosters or rankings. I would prefer to play Antonio Callaway over Josh Gordon this week.
Interesting, yeah. Mm.
What do you think?
Browns.
I put him 40 for now. I'm just going to monitor reports. Mike Reese, I heard him today, covers the Patriots for us here, obviously.
Does a great job.
Yes, outstanding. Best. He said he does expect him to play because they're just in such bad shape at wide receiver. But again, probably a limited route tree.
Where did you rank Antonio Callaway this week?
Callaway? No. No.
No?
I'm
wow.
Not, no, no.
You don't like Antonio Callaway?
I think we're going to get a relatively low scoring, kind of boring, one of them
Thursday, night,
Thursday
game.
Night games. I'm still nervous about Tyrod throwing the football, you know.
I think because they can't generate offense, they're going to have to chuck it. What about you? Did you rank Antonio Callaway?
I did. I don't know where I have, but I think I have him in there.
No one likes, apparently, you like Antonio Callaway?
I love Antonio Callaway. I just think as a big play potential, I mean, he's one of those guys that, you know, catches one pass for 60 yards and a touchdown.
But when?
How about week two? How about last week?
He would have had a horrific, he had four targets in that last game. I mean, yes, he's playing every down,
and
but I think it's a
one.
Low volume pass offense.
He's also a young player who still, he didn't play a ton in the preseason as well. The talent is undeniable. Mm-hmm. He's absolutely got talent. So you're a little less bullish on Antonio Callaway. I do think he's somebody, did he make your waiver wire column this week, Field?
He did. Yep.
So I think he's sort of interesting here. One last thing to note about this, and we can move off from the Patriots here. Look, Gronk's already the number one tight end in fantasy. You're already, he's already rostered in 100% of leagues. But I do think the Josh Gordon addition, if it works out, actually helps Rob Gronkowski.
Sure.
Because at some point, as we talk about defense coordinators, it can't hurt. Like, you're going to have to take one of them away, and I just think it's going to free up some stuff. We saw against Jacksonville, the Jags were able to bracket Gronk quite a bit, and they threw Miles Jack on him, and Ramsey played a few snaps as well, and they just, you know, double teamed him quite a bit, and you're not going to be able to do that if Josh Gordon's on the field.
Let's get now to some quick hitters, and it's a big trade when Carson Wentz being cleared to return, and we talked about this a bit yesterday on the podcast, but being cleared to return and start in week three is buried after a Josh Gordon trade news.
I see what you did there. Buried.
About that.
All right. My last name is Barry, you see, and that's what,
There we go. Moving along, Mike. quarterback rankings for this week, how high does Carson Wentz in his first game back climb? It's a great matchup against the Colts. I get it. All those Colts people that are telling me it wasn't that good of a matchup last week. Yeah, I realize that. I also still realize that this Colts defense lacks playmakers. I believe it is a good matchup.
Yeah, I'm with you. Problems at defensive tackle, corner, linebacker behind Leonard, obviously looks like a gem find, but you're right. They do have some problem areas. The Eagles come back home here. Carson Wentz, I have him at 6 this week. I just have a hard time going much lower. He was so effective last season, top 10 in the highest percentage of his starts. Again, at home, defense that has some issues, obviously a high-scoring offense here in Philadelphia. I know he's lacking some weapons there, but you have Zach Ertz, you have Nelson Aguilar, you have Jay Ajayi. I think the way he plays adds value with his legs. He's fully cleared. I just see a path to a good fantasy week. I think if you have him and you don't have a better option or a close option, you could start him this week.
Interesting. I have him ranked inside my top 6, I believe, for quarterback rankings this week. So Carson Wentz, I think it's about the upside here, right? And quarterbacks are so close, they're so bunched together so frequently that
I think it would just it obviously depends on your options. There's a chance, though, it'd be interesting that you, because he was injured, that you might have Patrick Mahomes, that you might have Carson Wentz and Patrick Mahomes,
or Ryan Fitzpatrick,
and you're staying right where you are.
Yeah.
With Patrick Mahomes. I'll mention this just in the same vein here. Mike Wallace fractured his fibula. He's out indefinitely. He could be out for the year. Passing game impact on Mike Wallace going down, Carson Wentz's return. Who benefits, if anybody? Because I kind of look at it like this. The two guys that have been the studs are going to continue to be the studs and might even have a higher ceiling in Zach Ertz and Nelson Aguilar.
Well, you might see Darren Sproles. We'll see if he's able to play Thursday. He would benefit a little bit there. Kamar Aiken, I mean, he's had fantasy value at times, and now he's running as basically their number two receiver. So if this offense is scoring at a high rate, he could somehow sneak his way back into fantasy relevance, at least until Alshon Jeffrey's back. So maybe in a, I don't know, 16-team league, if you're desperate at the flex, Aiken, but I think he's a guy that could get some run here.
I would be curious to know. I mean, in field, you may know. I know you were working the phones, working on the Josh Gordon story all yesterday. I wonder if the Eagles were in on that. You know, there were a number of teams that contacted the Browns about Josh Gordon, you know, and the Redskins, it's not really fantasy relevant, but Rashad Perryman and Michael Floyd signed with the Redskins. And just,
yep.
I'm curious, given the lack of depth that Philly has and how good they've been at sort of filling holes, it's a little surprising that the Eagles didn't make a move.
Well, I'd say
to
this.
Get some depth.
I think, first of all, I think Marcus Wheaton could be back in the fold for the Philadelphia.
Okay.
Not that he solves all the issues here.
Sure, but
like, again,
he's a guy.
There aren't many people around that are available. I think a lot of teams consider Josh Gordon. Ultimately, he ended up with the Patriots. I think a lot of teams discussed the possibility, understanding that, you know, like he's not going to be traded within a division, maybe not to a team that was upcoming on the Browns schedule. So some of those factors limited the market for Josh Gordon just a little bit.
Yeah. By the way, I'm wondering if Devontae Parker could be next. You know, he didn't seem happy about being inactive last week, and they have a lot of guys.
There,
they have four receivers that they're using pretty heavily, including Jakeem Grant, who they like. I'm just saying, I mean, wouldn't be shocking. And by the way, that connection with Philadelphia, they made the Ajayi trade last year. I'm just saying, we'll see what happens there.
We'll see what happens.
LeSean McCoy has cracked rib cartilage. He's currently questionable for week 3. Is there any way you'd start LeSean McCoy against the Vikings as it is?
No.
I'm not starting him this week.
I've got him in 20 in my running back ranking.
I'm
at
31.
That's optimistic. Yeah.
Yeah, I have him buried. Marcus Murphy's being worked in. And by the way, just another, you know, I've actually heard this in the last 24 hours, like, you might want to get Chris Ivory. Not necessarily. Murphy is ahead of Chris Ivory. That's a committee if McCoy is out.
I mean, I tweeted this out after Schefter broke the news about the rib injury. I tweeted out like, hey, you should immediately go out and pick up, check's roster, check schedule, no one, as you were.
Yes.
Like, I don't think there's a roster move to make unless you want to drop Kelvin Benjamin or Charles Clay.
Yeah.
Like, the only roster move involving the Bills is that. Like, I just, against the Vikings.
Even Clay's been scaled back. He's been a disappointment. They're using Jason Kroom, who's
100%.
An interesting dynasty.
I mean, that's what I'm saying. Like, the only Bills player that I think you can roster with any kind of confidence, and it's very shaky, is LeSean McCoy. And he's not an RB2. Like, he's a flex play. He's a volume-based, hope he falls into the end zone flex play. I will say there were some signs of life to that offense under Josh Allen that weren't there with Nathan Peterman.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, it's going to be a bad team, but at least they might be able to move the ball a little bit. Although against Minnesota, you have your doubts.
I'm going to go off script for a second here and just mention something, and I apologize for not calling for the breaking news drop because I'm not quite sure if it's breaking news yet. I'm going to note this. This came from Ed Bouchette. Does a good job covering the Steelers for a long time. He's been great covering them for the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette, who reports that Antonio Brown did not show up for work on Monday. This, of course, comes after that tweet that Antonio Brown put out, basically say it was a tweet from a former Steelers PR guy basically saying, like, Antonio Brown doesn't realize that the Steelers kind of make him as opposed to the other way around. And AB says, fine, find out by trading me. And he was obviously, you know, not demanding a trade, and not that a trade is realistic, but
sort
still
of dealing
frustrations.
With a troll. Yeah.
Frustrations are mounting for Antonio Brown. We're just mentioning it. We are monitoring it. There's not really much. There's no actionable here. Of course, Antonio Brown's going to be a fixture in your lineup every single week, but
it's
a weird situation.
There seems to be weird vibes coming out of Pittsburgh around Antonio Brown with a tweet, with this, with certain things that you hear. Obviously, he's paying well attention to the fact that Le'Veon Bell, his teammate, is not showing up for work either. So, boy, oh boy, that's, I mean, Juju, if Antonio Brown were to miss work, this Sunday, Juju Smith-Schuster would be a top five fantasy wide receiver. You wouldn't love, the prospects of Ben Roethlisberger.
The only thing that I can think of is that perhaps Antonio Brown, who is known for driving incredible cars to training camp and planning these, you know, these amazing entrances, is out shopping for a Subaru, Daniel.
You know, if I had a fantasy SUV field, it would be a Subaru, but a big one. One with three rows of seats and loads of room for all the gear I like to haul around.
Some what kind of gear do you like to haul around?
Gear trimmers. You know, I got a lot of, I got, you know, guitar cabinets and guitars and heads and a lot of pedals and stuff like that. Plus, I have dogs. Got a lot of dogs.
Right. Do they play the instruments?
Yeah.
That would be cool. That would be a crappy band I would actually
it's
go
like
see.
It's like a dog band. Yeah. It's pretty legit.
Something to think about.
Someone at Subaru must have been listening, because that's why they just introduced the all new three row Subaru Ascent. There's room for 7 or 8 passengers with a choice of second row captain's chairs or bench seating. You can choose the arrangement that works best for your future Hall of Famers and all their friends. This is a big deal. Everyone knows Subaru has a reputation for safety. And with the standard symmetrical all-wheel drive, a Subaru gives you the confidence to handle every sort of weather and road condition. Now, you can get all these things and people that you love, everything from a Subaru, along with plenty of room for growing families. The Ascent even comes up with up to 19 cup holders and 8 USB ports. Like I said, this thing is big. The all-new 3-row Subaru Ascent. Love is now bigger than ever. 8 USB ports requires 3rd-row dual USB charging port accessories. And Field, exploring the waiver wire, is brought to you by the all-new 3-row Subaru Ascent. Love is now bigger than ever. Let's start with some quarterbacks.
Love is bigger than ever, and the Q score for Ryan Fitzmagic is bigger than ever. Ryan Fitzpatrick, the first player since Billy Volek in weeks 15 to 16 of 2004, has thrown for 400-plus passing yards and 4 touchdowns in consecutive weeks. He's quarterback 1 this season. He has more points in the first 2 weeks of the year than any other player in fantasy football in the first 2 weeks of the year over the past 15 seasons. Mike, the matchup is so good for Ryan Fitzpatrick. How high does he climb in your rankings for week 3?
I think he's a must start. The way he's played with the weapons around him. And remember, this isn't completely out of nowhere. You know, Fitz has struggled the past few seasons in relief of Jameis Winston. But he did have 31 touchdowns. Was that back in 2015? So, you know, he's had big fantasy seasons at times. I think he, you know, could turn into a pumpkin pretty quickly. Hopefully this isn't that week, because he's playing against the Steelers at home. They've allowed the second most fantasy points to quarterbacks. So it is set up the way he's played, again, with all the guys he has to throw the football to. It's set up to be a great matchup, especially, by the way, if Joe Hayden remains out.
One thing that I think might be interesting, if you have room on your roster, and this is always tough, but I will say, and you tell me if you guys agree with this or not, I do think if the quarterback situation hasn't worked out for you, if Jameis Winston, who's out there in a ton of leagues, like rostering the adding Jameis Winston as well as Ryan Fitzpatrick, and I know you're taking up a lot of roster spots, so you have to have a big roster or some flexibility there. But I think whoever is going to be quarterback, whether it's Fitzy or Winston, is going to be a very productive fantasy quarterback this year, because they have a tremendous amount of play callers. They playmakers, I should say, at the wide receiver position. They can't run the ball. They can't play defense, and it is aggressive. Play calling.
By the way, if I had Ryan Fitzpatrick, if I already have him on my roster, I would 100% be fielding offers for Ryan Fitzpatrick right now, because you're going to get some insane possible offers coming your way. People tend to, at the beginning of the year, overreact to things. We are guilty of it ourselves sometimes, but if you can get a starting wide receiver for Ryan Fitzpatrick, which I'm telling you, somebody out there will execute that trade, I would do it.
No
Let's
doubt.
Get now to a tight end ad, and Will Disley, we talked about earlier on, but Eric Ebron quietly been sort of productive for the Colts so far this season. Matthew, I know it's much to your dismay.
But he has been. You're right, Phil.
He has been good. And beyond that, at tight end, it's not like you go to the waiver wire and you find a bunch of sure things. Eric Ebron, not a sure thing. But if you've been trotting out a player like Tyler Eifert, perhaps, or maybe even Jack Doyle, and you've been disappointed by the returns, I'd at least look at Eric Ebron, who, for all of the times that he has, you know, been forecasted to be a breakout player and not been a breakout player. We're not forecasting a breakout here. What we're forecasting is for him to not stink for your team this year.
Yeah, I'm not buying on Ebron. He's running behind Jack Doyle. There's not enough target volume. He's 9 targets in 2 games. Yes, he has 3 end zone targets. That's great. They're going to use him near the goal line. It is a good offense. I love Andrew Luck. That's fine. But I'm just, it maybe in a non-PPR, I like him a little more. But especially in PPR, you got to stay away. He's too touchdown dependent. I don't think he's going to keep up anywhere close to this pace. I mean, he's not going to score 16 touchdowns. He may not score 7, you know, maybe not 8. So I have big concerns with him. Again, a number 2 tight end. Offenses just don't support 2 in fantasy football. I can't buy this one.
I would prefer to Eric Ebron. And like, it's nice to hear somebody on this podcast other than me talking down Eric Ebron. You guys know I don't love him. OJ Howard, I think, I know it was the one big play, but we talk about this Buccaneers offense getting hot. We talked about him a little bit yesterday, Field, but he's running a route on 83% of his snaps, which is a significant increase from last year. It certainly feels like Ryan Fitzpatrick prefers Howard to Cameron Brate. We know there's a connection, at least there was, between Winston and Brate. I think OJ Howard, just based on pedigree, based on talent, and based on the fact, again, that offense is going to throw the ball. They can't run it. They can't play defense. I like O.J. Howard better than Eric Ebron if you're needed tight end this week.
No question. I think, you know, I was kind of concerned about Howard coming into the season because they re-signed Cameron Brate. You thought he'd be the receiving tight end there. That has not been the case. He ran 10 routes in week 2, did Brate. 22 for Howard was actually tied for 3rd on the team. You know, if he's going to be in every passing down sort of player for this offense, he's going to be a tight end 1, and he has massive upside. So I'm in on Howard. I saw this coming last week. I scooped him up in a lot of leagues, and that should be the case for everybody. He should be 100% owned because of that high ceiling.
With the highest quality socks, underwear, and t-shirts, there's no need for luck with Stance in your starting lineup. Stance has you covered with 31 different NFL teams, and you can support your team with their exclusive styles, delivering the ultimate in comfort and fit. Stance has you covered with basics that are anything but. And attention to detail with seamless toe enclosures, anti-roll waistbands for your underwear, feather stitch seams for your underwear and your shirts, and moisture wicking fabrics to keep you comfortable. Their signature butter blend fabric. And I'm telling you, I'm wearing these underwear right now. They are out of control comfortable. It's like nothing you've ever felt before, utilizing natural products to give you the ultimate softness that only Mother Nature could provide. Stance offers basics in a variety of prints, patterns, and colors. No longer just black and white. Remember those NFL socks I talked about earlier? They have multiple designs for 31 teams. Stance has you covered with basics that are anything but. Make game day every day by heading over to stance.com/FFF to get yours now. Give me that gift right there. Let's get to the meat of the waiver wire column. But before we do that, a note from our smartest fan of the week from ZipRecruiter.
Hey, I'm Terry Kasem, ZipRecruiter's smartest fan of the week, and nobody puts Maddie in a corner.
That is true.
Nobody puts Maddie
in the corner.
All right, awesome. Let's get to the meat of the waiver wire column. We begin with running backs, and to me, the most valuable waiver wire ad of the week is easily Giovanni Bernard, available in about 60% of leagues on ESPN.com. Joe Mixon's hurt right now. Joe Mixon is hurt and is going to potentially miss 2 to 4 weeks. Initial ranks are due later on today for Mike and I. I know Matthew have those up tomorrow. Easily inside the top 20 this week for me.
Yeah, no question. I mean, you look at last season, Joe Mixon missed 2 games. He handled 34 of the 42 touches by their running backs in those games. And actually, Mixon, when he came back, was limited. Gio Bernard, from week 13 on, with Mixon out or limited, was RB9 in fantasy. He's going to be the main guy. Intrigued to see Mark Walton. Deep leagues, dynasty leagues, you could scoop him up. He'll probably be activated. But Bernard, no question, the guy here at Carolina, he's RB16 for me.
Mike has a projection of Giovanni Bernard of 13.1 points. Later on, we're going to do a little segment called Back That Up. Aaron Jones is a player that, Matthew, I know you've been excited about all offseason. He now is set to return. How high is the ceiling?
The ceiling is he could be a top 10 fantasy running back. I mean, last year in the games in which he got at least 15 carries or 15 touches, I should say, he was a top 8 fantasy running back. Now, he didn't get that a lot, but Jamal Williams has certainly struggled. Ty Montgomery doesn't seem to be being used about. He's coming off the suspension. It depends on how much they trust him in pass protection. I don't know that Aaron Jones gets a full workload, but I think he's the most talented running back on this team. I think we've seen him be successful in this offense. If he gets the job, and I think it's a matter of when, not if, he's going to be a rock star. Again, the lead running back in an Aaron Rodgers offense is somebody you want on your fantasy team.
Let's keep moving things along to the wide receivers, and I guess go right back to you, Matthew, to hit on John Brown, who had 10 targets in week two, and he has now scored in each of his first two games as a Baltimore Raven.
Yeah, I mean, his fantasy points per reception is sixth best since 2014. 3.12, just to give you a comparison, that's a better fantasy points per reception than Mike Evans, than Odell Beckham, than Jordy Nelson, than T.Y. Hilton, some guys you probably heard of. He's scored in two straight games. He's got 40 yards receiving in each of the last 2 weeks. It's following up a strong preseason. We talked about him yesterday. Yeah, I'm in on John Brown. I would prefer John Brown to Michael Crabtree based on where you got them in drafts this year.
Yeah, this is a just really quick. This is a really tricky one here. 16% target share, not going to cut it. But he is fifth at wide receiver in OTD, so he's getting a lot of work near the goal line. That's good. Those things need to level out a little bit. I mean, right. The touchdown opportunity is probably going to come down with the other weapons they have there. Hayden Hurst will be back too. 16% target share, not going to cut it. He's not going to be a fantasy starter unless that goes up. So he's bordering on sell high for me right now. But again, if the share goes up, he'll be okay.
I also think, by the way, just very quickly, their games have been weird, obviously. They're not going to blow out the Bills. Like he didn't play much of that game in the second half. So I think the target share will go up as they get into more competitive games.
There are plenty of names on the waiver wire column that won't be discussed on this podcast. We encourage you to go and read it. But one more I wanted to get to is Chris Godwin. We talked about O.J. Howard being a productive part of that passing game in Tampa Bay, Mike. Chris Godwin has been terrific as well so far for them. Do you think he can sustain this as the third wide receiver in that offense?
I don't think so. I mean, he was fourth in line in pass routes in this game. I mean, he only ran 17 routes. He's scored a couple touchdowns to bail people out so far. But he needs more playing time. And as long as Deshaun's there and they're utilizing Adam Humphries in the slot, Mike Evans on the outside, you obviously, we already talked about O.J. Howard and the big role he's playing. I just don't see how he sustains this. It doesn't matter who you are. If you're running 17 routes a game, you're not going to be a fantasy starter.
Interesting. And he's been so good. It's a great matchup.
I want to love him.
Great matchup in week three. So keep Chris Godwin on your radar, at least on a short term basis.
He's a brainiac, he's my clay.
Okay, so we got a new segment we're going to do this week called Back That Up. Mike, your week three projections are out already. Obviously, we got a couple of them here that we're going to talk about. Number one, Chris Thompson. You haven't projected to score 13.2 fantasy points in week three. Back that up.
All right, is this too high or too low? This is the one I couldn't figure out. Did you feel like that was high or low?
I feel like I just want to hear what you have to say, okay. And then we'll tell
you if
you're
right or
wrong.
Why do you project Chris Thompson for 13.2 points? Why not 13.1 or 13.3?
Because that's crazy. Yeah. Why would I do that? Come on. Listen, only 9 carries so far. He's not going to do a ton as a rusher. We know they want to limit him in that area. But 20 targets so far. That's unbelievable. He's on pace for 160 targets. Obviously, that won't keep it up, but he's caught 19. Efficiency's been good. The efficiency will come down. Listen, he's not going to see 160 targets, but he's going to be heavily involved as a receiver in this offense, an offense that I think they struggled, granted, in this yeah. past week, surprisingly. I think they'll be better. Yes, he's never had more than 6 touchdowns in a season, but, you know, I guess this week they play the Packers. I mean, great game script. Yeah. He's going to be heavily involved. I like him. He's just a high-floor RB2 in PPR.
Since the start of last year, opponents are completing over 83% of their passes to running backs against the Packers. That's second highest in the NFL. I think the Packers have no problem scoring on the Redskins. So yes, when they're trailing from behind, that's their pass first offense. And Alex Smith has struggled to get a connection with some of his wide receivers. His best wide receiver so far in two games has been Chris Thompson. He's led the team in receiving yards. So, I'm agreeing with you. I would take the over on 13.2 actually.
Very Tampa Bay heavy show today, Mike. You have the opportunity to back up your projection of 15.9 fantasy points for Mike Evans.
Yeah, that works out to wide receiver 9 this week. So again, I think that's about where we would all rank him this week. Good matchup against the Steelers. We just talked about that 10th most fantasy points. to receivers so far. Here's the only concern I have with Evans. 19 targets so far, that's good. He's caught 17. Okay, that's a very high catch rate. His previous catch rate in his career was 54%. Only 5% of balls thrown to him have been off target. Previous career rate was 26%. He's going to regress to the mean. How much does that hurt him is really the question. So we know he can score a lot of touchdowns. There's a lot to like. He's a top 10 guy in an offense that's rolling on all cylinders.
It is rolling on all cylinders, and you love the matchup here, the Pittsburgh Steelers, that obviously just got lit up by Patrick Mahomes, 6 touchdowns to him. So you're starting Mike Evans, obviously, and I would take the over on that as well. 6'5", you can't teach that, Field Yates.
Do me a favor, don't take this train off the tracks. I have to walk over to SportsCenter to take care of part of my other job. I'm leaving the podcast in your hands for the remainder of the show.
Just want to make sure everyone caught that name. Field dropped. He has to leave our dumb little podcast because he's got to go to SportsCenter. He's got to hit at 12:07. So for those of you watching on Twitter, be sure to tune over to SportsCenter 12:07 to hear Field basically repeat.
Twitter, follow me there. He's good at it.
Watch him basically repeat all the information he just said on this podcast, but he'll do it on television with a nicer host. So that's at Field Yates on Twitter and Instagram. He'll be on SportsCenter later. Just want to let you know that in case you missed that, because he's going to be on SportsCenter. He has to leave early because he's got to be on SportsCenter. It's a big TV shot for him. Yeah.
Let me ask another question.
Yes, sir.
Can I ask about another player, Mike?
Sure. Let's do it.
Will Fuller, you have him at 11.5 points after a dominant week 2.
Yeah, I mean, the Giants have slowed the pass so far. 6 fewest fantasy points to wide receivers. He was also, believe it or not, 3rd among the Texans wide receivers in pass routes in this game. Saw 8 targets. Will he continue to see that kind of volume? He didn't eclipse 5 his previous 5 games. That's been the issue with him. Can he get enough volume? The big plays have been there. That's not sustainable at the rate he's been at. He needs more targets. He got them in week 2. Will that continue? That's kind of my concern there. So hedging a little bit.
I'm a little bit more bullish on him than you are. Since the start of last year, Giants have allowed 12 deep touchdown passes. That's 5th most in the NFL. We saw the deep one to Tavon Austin last week against the Cowboys. They're going to take shots because I'm not convinced they're going to be able to run the ball effectively in this game. I mean, to me, the argument is that they may not need to throw that much because the Giants offense looks so brutal. But I was encouraged by the target share for Will Fuller last week, that he basically matched DeAndre Hopkins. I mean, it was a 1 and 1A situation there. And so obviously Hopkins is going to get his, but I'm a little bit more bullish on Will Fuller than you are this week.
Why don't we do one more?
Okay.
Let's talk about Rob Gronkowski.
I've heard of him.
You have him projected 17.7 points against the Detroit Lions. It's surprising, and I'm just going to say this as a Lions fan, they actually haven't given up a ton of points to tight ends this year. I mean, it's only been 2 weeks, small sample size. However, Rob Gronkowski is not the normal tight end.
Yeah, I mean, what do you want me to say? The Lions defense is not good, Daniel.
Yeah,
I'll handle that.
Well, you didn't need to
I mean, they're
say
brutal.
That.
I mean, they're awful. Yeah, they might be historically bad. I mean, I think people, because the Cardinals and the Bills have been so bad, Daniel, I think people have really kind of overlooked just how embarrassing the Lions, with their $100 million quarterback and their brand new New England Patriots head coach, have been. Just how embarrassing on a national stage they've been. I mean, they were at home against the Jets. I mean, the Jets beat the over-under by themselves.
No, I understand that.
On the road with a 21-year-old quarterback. I mean,
all
I just don't think.
Is,
so that's how you do it.
All
you just
I'm
mentioned
is,
there. I'm just saying, like, have you bought a, because Keith has them from his Browns fans date. Have you bought one of those paper bags with the holes cut out yet?
I have not.
Because we've got those. Keith will let you borrow his.
All I'm saying.
Why don't you do a board bet? Who wins more games, the Browns or the Lions this year? Who do you think?
I think the Lions.
Not cool, Keith.
Did you hear the hesitation there?
Total hesitation.
I like the Lions.
What do you think, Keith?
Go Browns.
Go Browns.
For that. Why not?
I'm with Keith. I say, Secret Squirrel, the Browns win more games this year than the Lions.
I say the Lions win more games than the Browns.
Put it on the board.
Put it on the board.
There you go, Browns Nation. I'm with you.
Really
dog
quickly
pound.
On this. We thought that George Kittle was going to have a really big game last week against the Lions. Did not. And then and Rob Gronkowski also, what do you have, 2 catches for 15 yards last week?
Well, against the Jaguars.
He was playing the Jags. He had a bad game, and he's still the number 6 scoring tight end, even after doing nothing in week 2. I'm not scared off by the Lions. I mean, it's an upgrade for him, I think,
in
this offense.
So in case if we've learned anything from today's show, it's that Daniel believes the Lions will win the Super Bowl this year.
Yes.
And that you should bench Rob Gronkowski. That is the advice of our producer, Secret Squirrel, co-host of the Fantasy Show with Matthew Barry on ESPN+. That's my co-host.
Lions
right
Dolphin Super Bowl.
I should do a TO crying press conference where that's my co-host. That's my co-host.
You should do that.
That's my co-host.
It's New York Times bestselling author Matthew Berry with another self-serving, self-indulgent, all about me promo.
So this is very exciting stuff here, but if you go to ESPNFantasyShop.com, I take that back, actually. If you go to FantasyLife.com, sorry, that's not, ESPN Fantasy Shop hasn't been set up yet. FantasyLife.com, and you can get yourself some tumblers, some apparel, some hats, some trophies. There's also some ESPN Fantasy stuff there as well. You can get some 06010 shirts, all sorts of great stuff. We've got socks. We've got women's wear. We've got Yater's Gonna Yate shirts. We've got everything you need to gear up. And if you use the promo code MB10, you get 10% off here in the month of September. Just go to FantasyLife.com, gear up. I have to tell you, the tumblers are my personal favorite. There's a spicy tomato shirt, the I'm in a crappy band you've never heard of t-shirt, a secret squirrel shirt, don't yate the analyst, yate the game. Lots of fun stuff. So check it out at fantasylife.com.
I got the board. Remember,
you have the board.
The draft board. It went well. It was a good draft board.
There you go.
Get Mike, one for next season.
Mike Clay got the draft board. Mike, I'm sorry about beating you in our staff league.
Oh, man, I needed one Jordan Howard touchdown last night. That's all I needed.
Thank you, Seattle, for not allowing that. Good job as always, Mike. Be sure to check out your, you have a column up on ESPN, right? The 32?
32 is up, receiver corner tomorrow. Yeah, so we're rolling.
So check out all of Mike Clay's stuff, and of course follow him on Twitter at Mike Clay NFL. Fields on Instagram and Twitter at Field Yates. I am at Matthew Berry TMR on all forms of social media, with the exception of the Fantasy Life app, where I'm just merely at Matthew Berry. Be sure to check out Daniel and I on the Fantasy Show at ESPN Plus, streaming all season long. We are back tomorrow with Stefania and rankings. Peace out.
You're in the 06010. Never gonna hustle, in case you didn't know. Matthew Berry, TMR.
You guys go ahead, give me grief for being on SportsCenter for 45 seconds.
You think you could do better than me? Because I don't think you could.
Jail bait, Phil Yates.
You're terrible at hashtag improv. At Phil Yates. At Phil Yates.
Stefania Bell.
Oh, don't let Berry convert you.
Secret squirrel Daniel Dow.
Make it happen.
Mediocre fantasy advice.
You're older than people realize.
That never stops.
Loyal 06010 listeners.
Geico presents, not again, another voicemail from your roommate.
Hey, man, so I was in a rush to get to work and I left the back door open. Could you shut it? I left it wide open. While you're there, could you also turn off the oven and all of the burners? My mom never let me use the oven. I wonder why.
The Geico Insurance Agency could help keep your personal property protected, like if it's your roommate's first time operating an oven. Visit geico.com to see how easy it is to switch and save on renter's insurance.